Hey there, gang. Patrick King here, coming to you live. Welcome to episode number one of my new Talking About Horses live audio broadcast. Today, I'm joined by my special guest, Jen Johnson of North American Western Dressage. Jen, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, and thank you for having me, Patrick.
Awesome. I'm so glad you could join us. Exciting to have you here with us for the first episode of this new broadcast. This is kind of a fun new thing that we're going to try out and see how it rolls. So let's start out. Can you tell me and tell everybody listening a little bit about yourself and your horsemanship journey?
Sure. Well, I've been into horses all my life. I started when I was a baby. You know, me and my sister Greta would play with the plastic horses and play that we were horses galloping out in the field and anything and everything, you name it, we did it. And we were pretty much obsessed. At the age of 10, my dad finally broke down and, knowing nothing about horses, went out and found one that was pretty cheap, and it was a three-year-old stud colt. He was not kind of green broke. It was a Shetland Arab cross, and he was really mean. He bucked and bit and kicked and did everything that you don't want a horse to do. And at the age of 10, you know, I had to figure this horse out. And fortunately, you know, Greta and I adored him. And of course, he could do no wrong. He was a wonderful horse in our eyes. It wasn't until later that I realized how terrible he really was. But he kind of taught us everything that we know. And I think that learning from him, you know, we figured out how to get around the bucking and the rearing and biting and kicking and all those things, and managed to, you know, gallop freely across the field like the young girls always do, and our hair was blowing in the wind and all those wonderful things. But he really taught us, you know, how to work with horses and how to communicate with them. We had no other option. We were pretty poor. You know, we grew up on a 100-acre farm in northern Minnesota. Didn't have a horse trailer. I remember, you know, this was a long time ago, so we didn't wear seat belts and all of those things. And my dad used to put the used motor oil on the horse to keep the bugs away. And I don't know if I should really be saying this, because I'll probably be on the internet tomorrow as a horse abuser because I allowed my dad to do this at 10. I can just see it happening now. But you can too, Patrick, right?
Yeah. They're going to be all over us about this.
I know. And we didn't wear seatbelts, like I say. So I think that's a bigger deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Safety third.
So we grew up without access to trainers, without access to anything but just a girl and her horse. That's all we were. Went off to college, kind of got out of horses for a while, had a baby, and when Kyle was 5, decided I needed to get back in and give my daughter the same sort of life that I had grown up with. So we moved up to Maple Lake and purchased 20 acres, the hobby farm here, went out and found a horse. And Bailey was someone who came through the auction. She was well broke, older mare, and the best $800 I ever spent, because she was an amazing horse for me to have a second horse and for my daughter to also learn on. So at the age of 35, I finally went out and had my first official lesson, and had not had a lesson or worked with a trainer in my life, and began to discover that there was a whole new world, a world of showing and choosing a discipline and all of these things that I had never felt that horsemanship was about. It had never been a part of our lives, but now it was. So I began to think about, well, where do I fit? And I felt more comfortable in a Western saddle, but then I discovered dressage, and I was hooked with the precision and the perfection and the beauty and the feeling when you actually get that throughness. And that, you know, came from a schoolmaster, but felt that and said, this is what I need to have for my own horses. And since then, I've never looked back.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, so you felt pretty comfortable in the Western saddle. You fell in love with dressage through the schoolmaster. Is that kind of how you got started with Western dressage, or what drew you to Western dressage?
Yeah, actually, I was at the Minnesota Horse Expo and just walking around looking at things, and I saw a picture of a horse in a Western saddle, in a dressage arena, and doing a, you know, a pretty lovely, you know, I think it was a half pass. It might've been shoulder in. I think it was a shoulder in up the long side of an arena. And I saw that, that happened to be Randy Byers. He came out and gave me a lesson on his way out of town. And, Greta and I sat down and we said, how do we put this thing together? And that's when we started Midwest Western Dressage. Shortly after, we saw the announcements about Eitan Beth Halkamy, who introduced Western Dressage at the big, what do you call it, Patrick? You know the name for it. I'm losing the word right now.
I'm not sure.
You don't remember it?
I'm not
at the
sure.
Kentucky Horse Run. Yeah, the
World Equestrian Games.
Yeah, the one where he died three times.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he had quite a bit of heart trouble at that deal.
Yes, he did. But he came out and he introduced Western dressage. And shortly after that, we heard about it and heard that the Western Dressage Association of America was forming and said, this is awesome. We need to be a part of this. And me and my dad actually drove down to the very first strategic planning session of the WDAA. And, you know, with their blessing, we built Midwest Western Dressage. There were some, they decided to have states. We were a region. We didn't fit in their program. And eventually, our philosophy grew so big that we decided to go national with NADI. And yes, we do call ourselves NADI. It's NAWD, but, you know, NADI horses, NADI pictures, NADI videos. It really just never gets old.
Gotcha. And it's certainly something we got to be careful with, the search engine optimization.
Well, when you spell it with an N-A-W-D-Y, it's really kind of fine.
Yes, gotcha. Okay, awesome. So that's how you got started with North American Western Dressage. What's the main goal or the main focus of North American Western Dressage?
Really, it's to help bring more people into learning that dressage is the foundation for everything that we do with our horses. And also to bring it even back further than that, we've now introduced groundwork and long reining programs, because if you use it properly, groundwork, long reining, those are all things that can be used to teach dressage on the ground before you ever get in the saddle. And when you teach your horse to carry himself when you're not on top of him, he does it that much better when you are.
Yes. Fantastic.
So the goal now is to just reach as many people as we can and let them know that this is out there, that dressage can benefit them, and that dressage is not a competitive sport where you have to wear a little hat and ride in a little black saddle, and just that dressage is more than that. Dressage is a method by which you can, number one, develop a better relationship with your horse and increase its long-term soundness and longevity.
Fantastic. That is great. And that's so important, I think, for folks to understand, you know. And it reminds me of what my good friend Mark Russell said, that, you know, the horse is not to suit dressage. Dressage is to suit the horse. And that, to me, that seems to be the big element, the guiding element behind the whole Western dressage movement or discipline or whatever we want to call it. It's about how it fits for every horse, you know.
Yes, I absolutely agree. It's interesting. I had someone approach me on Facebook today, just the other day, asking, you know, she put up a picture of her warm blood, and I think it was an Oldenburg, and said, you know, people tell me that I can't be successful with this horse in Western dressage, and or ranch horse for that matter. And, you know, there was a pretty good conversation, and lots of people chimed in to say, no, absolutely not. That's not what it's about. And it was just nice to see so many people chiming in. So we're making progress. People are starting to realize that dressage is far more than what we see at the Olympics, what we see in modern dressage, that dressage doesn't need to be defined as a discipline really at all. Dressage is a method and a tool that we can use.
I like that idea. I like that idea. A method, the tools that we use, kind of the guiding principles. I like that idea a lot. I like that a lot. Awesome. So I guess that's kind of a great little segue into this idea of virtual shows. And I know that your organization, North American Western Dressage, has been having a lot of fun and a lot of success with the idea of these virtual shows. How do those work? What's that all about?
Well, it's really the reason why we're doing it is because we're working hard to give everybody the opportunity to participate in these programs, whether it's 6 feet on the ground, which is our groundwork testing, rant or long reining, our Western dressage. We also have a long reining. We embrace traditional dressage. People who want to come in a traditional dressage saddle, we can handle that as well. And we have a trail program. And all of these things, you know, we have the foundation of them is dressage and the classical training scale, which if you know anything about dressage, you've heard of the classical training scale, the rhythm, relaxation, suppleness, and onward and upward to collection. But we have a premise that, you know, we have all of these different things, but we judge them all by that classical scale, and that comes back to dressage. So we said, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could reach more people with this program? And I was introduced to the concept of virtual shows by the late Rod Miller, who ran International Performance Force Development. And he was running virtual shows at that time. And we actually participated in a few of his before the program just exploded and got way too big. And we had to just figure out how we were going to do it on our own. And so that's what we did. That was about probably 5 years ago. And I tell you, it has just exploded. And the nice thing about it is that it's actually given amateurs a way to get involved without the benefit of the trailer, without benefit of a trainer to bring them to the shows. They don't need all of these things, all of these expensive things that are not accessible to anybody, to everybody. And I go back to my childhood and I think to myself, how much more of a horsewoman would I be today if I would have had access to judging for me and my horse that would be able to tell me whether I was doing things that were beneficial for him or not, for his for his muscles. Of course, I was 10. I probably wouldn't have cared.
Right. You were just having fun.
I was just having fun. But at the same time, you know, you think of this and you think of how much better we can be if we have access to those tools. There's lots and lots of amateurs who don't have the money. And at this time in the world, you know, they're just trying to hang on to their horses and pay the bills because it's getting tougher and tougher.
Yeah, sure. So how does it work to participate in the virtual shows?
Well, people sign up online, and we have one coming up now, our Midsummer Celebration, which is typically our largest show. It opens on the 14th, and which is tomorrow, and it runs for 10 days. All of our shows run for 10 days, and include weekends that bracket them,
okay.
The first weekend and the last weekend. And they go online to www.nawdhorse.org and search for, look under the events calendar. You'll find our virtual show. And you register at the cost of $25 per test and plus an office fee, which right now is $5. It goes up as we get closer to the show, and when it opens it's 10, and then there's a penalty late, whatever. But then what happens is you go out and you ride your test for a video camera or a smartphone or whatever you have. Obviously a video camera with a zoom is the best because
okay.
If the judge can see you, they're going to be able to judge you better. They tend to get a little frustrated if they can't see you very well, and if they can't see that you're doing something that is good, they won't be able to score it well.
Sure.
So it's important to make sure your video is clear. You go out, set up your arena. We have some allowance for arena sizes. We allow 50 by 100 feet. No, 55 by 110 feet for dressage, 50 by 100 is for ranchers. So we allow a slightly smaller arena size because a lot of people, especially here in the north, are building their buildings on 12-foot trusses. So their buildings are usually 60 feet, and they need a little bit of room on the edges.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's more user-friendly for the typical indoor arena.
Exactly. It's user-friendly for the typical indoor arena. It can use a regular dressage size court. The most important thing is to make sure that your dimensions are accurate and that your letters are placed in the proper places and proportionally dimensioned. So go out, you know, video from C or a little bit behind. C usually works a little better. Probably 10 feet behind C, where the judge would sit. You can elevate your camera. That's pretty nice.
Gotcha. So they're getting the same view that the judge would normally see based on where the camera sits.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. They're getting the same view that the judge would normally see. Now, the difference comes in. So you go out, take your video, you upload it to YouTube, and you mark it as unpublished. When you do that, you're going to get a link, and you simply email the link over, and then we set up your test. We set up the test just as if it was a test at a live show, and we send it off to the judges. The judges judge it, and I'll tell you, there is going to be a difference in your judging. Your judging is going to be far more detailed, far more... a little bit like being under a microscope. I can tell you that, you know, at times people will come in and they are very impressed by the accuracy of the scoring, and sometimes it can be a little bit even less than you will get at a live show. We believe in very honest scoring. We don't pass out candy just to make people feel good. And when you do have the benefit of a video that you can stop and start, and rewind if you miss something. Well, you are, you don't miss anything, really.
Gotcha.
And gotcha. So any mistake, any circle that's not round, our judges are going to see it. And we instruct them to judge honestly. We also instruct them to comment generously and be sure that the rider has enough information to understand why they received the score that they received. And they do. Our judges are over and above top of the line, because they really take the time. They're spending about between 20 and 40 minutes a test.
Wow.
And
wow.
They wouldn't necessarily have to, but they are truly dedicated to the mission, which is education. And that's really our mission, is education. At the last show, which was the Summertime Ranch and Trail Show, Julie Slater just knocked the socks off of me when I was going and reviewing the judges. And just like, wait a minute, what's this? There was a picture in the comments. And I'm like, what? Why is she putting a picture in the comments? And so I went and looked at that picture, and she had actually taken a screenshot from the video. And he commented all about it and said, do you see this? Do you see this? And she had drawn some leveling lines between the horse's legs. Yeah. So she could, she really was, showing the rider, this is why I scored you this way. Do you see your horse is not balanced because the space between the hind legs is smaller than the space between the front legs? And you can see that your horse is downhill. He's on the forehand.
What a fantastic teaching tool, learning tool from the videos like that. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously we can't expect our judges to do that every time. It is a paid position. They do have the benefits of working from home and working on their own time, but they do go over and above. I tell you, they do earn every penny.
That's
awesome.
And
it really is amazing.
Well, and put any pressure on them or anything, but I mean, we did just publicly announce to the world that Julie did a rock star job putting that photo up there. So I mean, anything without a photo might just seem subpar now that the world knows she did that.
Oh no, I have to assure them that that's not ever going to be an expectation.
Good. Well, that's a really neat idea that she had to do that. And I think, thinking about it as we chat, I know I've had students that'll go to a show and they'll say, I thought I had a great ride. The judge must not have liked me. Or, my horse wasn't going maybe as well as I had hoped or as well as I thought he did. Either they think their scores should have been better, or maybe the opposite. They didn't think it was as good as it was, and they think their scores should have been less. So having the video like that is a tremendous way that they can look back. And I would imagine you probably have riders keeping their videos so that they can review their progress throughout the year.
Absolutely. When people sign up for our virtual shows, they get their own private vault, which their vault holds all of their test scores and all of their test sheets for the year. So when they sign up, we give them the test sheet and it goes into their vault, and then they can actually look at their test and review their video, watch it again, and really analyze what the judge saw. And, this really is a great educational tool for the rider. And there is no more, well, the judge didn't like me, because it's right there. Watch it. Are the judge's comments accurate? Unfortunately, the number system in dressage is somewhat subjective, but that's something that, we are dealing with, We have worked with Andrew McLean of the International Society for Equitation Science to develop actually an objective training scale, which gives riders a little bit more information about what their numbers, what kind of things they might need to do, and it makes the scores a little bit more objective. It says things like, oh, if 30% or more of the movement is blah, 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 then the suggested score is a 5. There's a lot of information in it, though, and it is, you know, the judges who are using, the nice thing is that the judges who use it, we only use it for the NAWD tests. We don't use it for the USCF tests or the USDF tests, because that's a separate judging system and they stick with that. But when we're judging NAWD tests, we use this objective scoring system. And what it really does is it gives a lot of information to the riders on, you know, what the score is and what do you need to do to get the next score up.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, what a great opportunity for anybody to get that feedback, whether they're seriously interested in competing or not. I would imagine that's just a tremendous feedback system to see where they are with their relationship with their horse, you know, with the working relationship they have with their horse.
Absolutely. You can work alone, and I've done it for years, and I read books and I watch videos and I learn from my horse, and I've had an occasional lesson here and there, but I really am one, I'm the worst kid in the class. You know, I'm the one sitting in the front row raising my hand and saying, well, but teacher, but you said this was the answer, but why? And, you know, teacher,
yes, I know, you've ridden with me. I can attest to that.
Yes, you can.
No, it's great, though. It's great.
So, yeah, I am the world's worst student because I do question everything. And I have really high standards. You know, I want a teacher who is going to push me and empower me. And I haven't, I've happened to find a few, but they're far away.
Yeah.
So the only time I do have access to them is, you know, a couple times a year when I get to be at a clinic or by video. So it is really powerful to be able to get this judge's feedback.
Yeah. Tremendous. And you said,
yes.
So you said you have the virtual show, the festival coming up this, starting tomorrow, you said, right?
Well, that's the Midsummer Celebration. The Festival for the Horse is actually something new, and it's live. And in August 8th through the 13th in Mora, Missouri at Von Holten Ranch, we're all going to be down there. And we have, you know, Dan James is coming. We have Julie Slater, the judge that I just talked about with the pictures.
Gotcha.
And the Lane sisters, Amanda and Michaela, and Patrick, met them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They just competed, didn't they? Didn't Amanda just compete in a Mustang Challenge?
Yes, she did, and I believe she did very well.
I remember seeing a photo of her in the top 10. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, and they're pretty big into Mustangs out there, and they do some really good work. And I tell you, just really go-getters and very knowledgeable and very fun to ride with. And so
yes.
I think Amanda and Michaela, these girls, they're going to be someone to watch for, you know, and I'm excited to ride with them. I'm excited to ride with Julie Slater. And, of course, Dan James. We all know who he is.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's okay, yeah.
That's great. That's great. Is he going to be doing some of his long-lining presentations and teaching out there?
No, actually. We're working on cantering with him. He's doing a couple sessions on cantering with confidence, and then he's doing some lead changes and some bareback and bridleless demos, not with his horses, but we've got riders who have signed up will get to take turns riding in these different demos and sessions. You know, Julie is going to be doing something on ranch horse. We've actually got Amanda and Michaela doing our 6 feet on the ground and long reining, and we stuck it right in the middle of Dan's day. Because he is our inspiration for creating the long reining program, but I think he's too busy to eat. Have ever even looked at it.
Gotcha. There you go.
So we're going to say, look, Dan, here's what we made for you.
That's perfect. And no pressure on them to be sandwiched around that.
Not at all.
Oh, that's great. Well, that sounds like a really awesome event. Where can folks find out more about that?
We actually have a dedicated website, www.festivalforthehorse.com.
Okay.
And I will let you know that, you know, if you type the thing in, it tries to keep bumping you to festivalofthehorse.com. That's not it. It's festivalforthehorse.com.
Festivalforthehorse. Okay, great. And yep. I'll tell you what, once we're done with this audio broadcast, Jen, I'm going to have you, if you can, click on over and make sure that you link up the website there in the comment section below this video, or maybe I'll beat you to the game and do that for you. But one way or another, let's make sure that we link that up in the comment section of this video so folks know where they can access that information.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. And as well, we'll see if we can put some links in there for the North American Western Dressage as well, and maybe a link to some information about your show that's starting tomorrow.
Sure, of course.
Awesome, great. Well, this has been fantastic, Jen. I can't thank you enough for coming out here and being the brave soul to join me for the first broadcast in this new live audio broadcast that we're doing. I've got a couple kind of wrap-up random questions for you. Whenever you're ready, let me know.
Okay, well, I guess I'm ready.
Okay, good. I hope you're ready. No, these are going to be easy. So what was the last horsemanship book you read?
The last horsemanship book I read was Susan Harris's new book on, what is it called? I'm going over to my bookshelf right now so I can give you the accurate information, because I tell you, it was a fantastic book that I highly recommend.
Was it? I saw that
everyone
she just released
reads.
That. I'm a little bit jealous that you read it before I did. I won't lie.
Oh, yeah. Horse, gait, balance, and movement.
Awesome. And that was from Susan Harris, correct?
Susan E. Harris.
All right. Great. That's awesome. So let's see. If you could ride with anyone, past or present, who would it be?
Well, Patrick Coon, of course.
Yeah. You're just looking for brownie points.
Do I get any?
Nope.
Oh, you're so mean. Who would I ride with? You know, I would like to work with, and not necessarily ride, but I would like to work with Manolo Mendez.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
If you would have asked me about it, Manolo would be a choice, but I thought of somebody who is actually at the very top of my list to ride with. Next, as soon as I can, is Jillian Kleinbring.
Oh, nice. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Jillian's a good friend of mine, and she's worked quite a bit with Manolo Mendez. Fantastic, fantastic gal with an amazing wealth of knowledge.
I've heard that her biomechanics clinics are, or her seminars are fantastic, but I've also, and then I've heard that, you know, I heard from someone who went to the seminar and then went to one of the riding and was just blown away, even
Absolutely.
after being a biomechanic. So I would really like to do that shortly. If you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, your friend Mark, and you mentioned him already.
Yes, Mark Russell. Yeah.
I never had the pleasure of meeting him, but since he passed away, I've had the pleasure of becoming friends with Sheila, and she's such a lovely lady.
Yes, Hayla's a great gal. And in fact, Jillian also was a student of Mark's. So a lot of Mark's wisdom has been passed around and spread around, and it's recirculating and growing as well. So it's good to see that. Okay, so what's the name of your current riding horse?
Bookham Diano is my current riding horse, and he is a Frisian Spanish Mustang cross, and he's a loud black and white paint with two blue eyes, and he's a real character. You've ridden him,
Yes,
Patrick.
he is. He is absolutely a character. Absolutely a character. Bookham Diano. Okay, so everybody's horse, everybody's dog, everybody's significant other seems to have a corny nickname. What's your horse's corny nickname?
It's not really corny. I guess I can call him, I'll call him Danny Boy from time to time, but that's not really strange at all.
Nah, that's good. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, so now, Jen, I don't know if you've caught any of the broadcasts or any of the videos that I've done in the past, but at the end of every video, I ask a question of the day of the audience, of everybody who's watching or tuning in. And this broadcast is going to be no different. And since you are our special guest, you're the one who gets stuck with, I mean, you get lucky enough that you can ask the question of the day for everyone who is tuning in. So let us know, what's the question of the day?
Does it have to be a hard question,
No
easy
way.
question,
No
complicated,
way.
long answer?
First question that pops into your mind. Those are usually the most fun.
Well, I'm gonna go and be, this isn't very fun. It's not a fun question at all, but it's something that I've been pondering a lot lately, because the Horsemen's Council met, the National Horse Council met a little bit ago, and they found that like we all know, numbers are declining in people that, the number of people that own horses and are participating, and this doesn't bode well for our industry. And so my question of the day is, what do you think can be done to help this situation? I know that suggestions have been made that are like, polo, that is, people competing and combating and trying to knock each other off the horse and stuff like this, crazy stuff like that. But what do you think can be done to bring more people into horses? What is your best suggestion? And sorry, Patrick, it's not fun at all, but
That's
it's something
okay.
that we all
That's
need to talk
a
about.
fantastic question. That might be the deepest question that I've had asked in any of these broadcasts. Yeah, that's an awesome one, gang, out there listening, tuning into this broadcast. What do you think can or should be done to help increase the number of folks involved with horses? Go ahead and leave your answers in the comment section below this video. I'm sure Jen is going to be checking in. I know I'm going to be checking in. I'm really looking forward to seeing your answers on that question. So, Jen, if I could have you keep hanging on the line here for me, once I finish this broadcast, we can chat a little bit more. I know you've got a meeting that you need to head to as well, but thank you so much for, like I said, for being here, being our first guest on episode number one of our new Talking About Horses live audio broadcast.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me, Patrick. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. And gang, please feel free, share this audio with all of your friends. Tag some folks that you know that may be interested. Tag their names in the comments section below this audio. And don't forget, tune in to it. Tune in to hear us next Thursday. Our special guest for next Thursday's Talking About Horses live audio broadcast is none other than Mustang Maddie, Madison Shambaugh. We're going to be talking about mustangs, zebras, and life on the road. That's going to be next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you tune in for that as well. Thanks so much, gang. We'll talk to you again soon.